Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, whatever time it is by you now. Welcome back to Chatting Rabbis. This is Eliezer Zalmanov in Munster, Indiana.
Mendy Chytrik from Istanbul, Turkey.
Sounds like it's evening by you now, Mendy. How are you?
It is evening. It's 10:15 in the evening, and getting ready for another great day tomorrow. I want to talk to you about today about collections. Collections.
Collections as in when you owe somebody money and they send a collections agency to hound you?
No, and not about your profession as a professional collector or fundraiser. No, I want to talk about collections.
not that either, okay.
No, when we were kids, our grandfather was a collector. Collector, yeah. You could say a hoarder, but he collected lots of stuff. Collected stamps, collected coins, collected rare books, collected lots of things.
He had a lot of joy in also sharing his collections with us, whether showing it to us, putting it on display for us, or actually sharing, physically giving us artifacts from his collections.
That's right.
Books, stamps, coins, random things that he picked up around the world in his travels.
He never threw out any stamp that came to the office. Put it in big envelopes and shipped it to Tzfat. So me and my brother Eliezer would put those stamps still glued on envelopes or pieces of envelopes in big buckets of water. Get them loosened up, get the glue to be loosened up. Put it on towels, wait a couple of days for it to dry, put those crumbled stamps now into heavy books so they straighten out, and then eventually, if you get to it, put them in envelope, put them in albums. Stamp collection.
Yeah, we received a lot of his stamps as well, and he taught us the same techniques on how to remove it from the envelope and how to eventually store it. It was a lot of fun, but like you said, he never threw anything, and not only stamps, he almost never threw anything out. I don't know if you can call it hoarding, because generally he appreciated the value that certain artifacts had over others. And you know, he traveled around the world, he would pick up little tchotchkes here and there and put them on display, and you know, he would share, like I said before, he would actually give them to us sometimes, but I think his most valuable, and even for him personally, his most prized collection were his Sfarim, his books, his old ancient manuscripts and tomes that he had lining his library, and those he shared with us as well.
Right. But the reason why I'm talking about these collection things is because I have a quite large collection of stamps. And my sons, my kids, who are homeschooled, they were looking for things to do. And this week I stumbled upon my stamp collection, and I still have big envelopes that have never been sorted out. And glue has the stamps never came off the envelopes. And I told my kids, now that online school finishes a little bit early because time zone in Israel changed to a summertime. So they have an extra hour. I told them, why don't you sort out the stamp collections? Now, when we grew up, stamps were big things because every letter had stamp. Every package had multiple stamps.
And besides the fact that people actually sent letters when we were
right.
kids.
And today, if you talk to people about what letters are, I don't think anybody knows what it is. Stamps, these stamps just don't exist. It's not something that exists at all. The whole, philately, whatever it's called, the whole business is out the window, because if there's no stamps to be available, maybe I assume some stamps are still being printed. But if people don't use stamps, so stamps don't have any value anymore. Or do they?
Well, tell that to the United States Postal Service, where they keep upping the value of a stamp. A stamp that last year was worth 45 cents is now worth 60 cents.
And who uses it?
You put a return card in the mail for a simcha, for a wedding invitation that you're invited to. So you put a stamp on that. You pay a bill by mail once in a while, almost never. Everything's done online these days, but we have a roll of stamps in our kitchen drawer just in case. But it's a good investment. You buy it and it sits in the kitchen drawer for a year, and the value goes up. Yeah, the value goes up after a few months.
Yeah, that's a pleasure, but they're quite interesting. I say I had my kids sit today for this week for quite a few weeks and for quite a few hours, and they're busy with the stamps and sorting the stamps and all this. So what is Helvetica and what is this and which country is this, which country is that, where is this from, who's the person depicted on the stamp, and every stamp has its story. So this bug of collection, I see it passed on. From me to my kids. I have my son Yuda, who collects coins. He has coins from many, many countries. He collects rare coins as well. He inherited some of the coins from our grandfather because Zayda gave out some of the collections to my other kids. He has I think nickels or quarters. Chaim has quarters. And they're all into collecting coins, collecting stamps, collecting other things. I thought it was quite interesting. All these types of collections, it really enrich your horizons. It teaches kids about other countries, teaches kids about life.
So I have a collection of coins too that in my interest in it started also from Zayda, but I had a teacher in Alatera in the 6th or 7th grade who was also a lot very much into coins, and he used to give old collectible coins as prizes, as gifts. So I amassed quite a collection of American coins and European coins, silver, copper, and my wife generally is not into collections, into hoarding, so anything that is lying around the house, she tries to get me to get rid of or to sell or to just throw out. So we came across these coins, and so I figured I'll just go try to sell it and get rid of it. I took it to a local pawn shop. He starts going through the coins. Total of all the coins that I have, he says maybe $50 worth of coin collection over here. Explaining to me why each coin is this problem, is that problem.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I explained to my kids, that these stamps that they're collecting or that they're taking off from the things are not really worth much. They're worth very little. They're not okay. Stamp The value of stamp collection has totally gone down because the interest in stamp collections has gone down. So it's not the monetary value of these stamps. But the fact that there's art in it, the fact that it comes from different places, you could teach yourself about other countries, other cultures, other peoples. And that itself, the collecting of itself is definitely much more, it's fulfilling in itself.
I think it has historical value in the same.
I think most importantly, we have here some audio issue because I think I'm talking and then it's
Right.
going through funny. Whatever. There's a delay or
There's
something.
a there's some kind of delay, yeah. I'll try to fix it up when we do the editing. Anyway, so it's there's a historical value, and the same also applies to Sfarim, to books, where I get calls as a community rabbi. I get calls a lot of times from people that have old books, old Sfarim, an old Siddur, an old Tanakh, or an old Machzer or old Haggadah, things that belong to their grandparents, and they're sure that it's worth thousands of dollars. It's worth whatever the paper that is printed it on is worth, and being that at this point it's deteriorated paper, it's not worth that up. But for the that much, but for the families, for the people that are connected to it, and the historical value and the sentimental value, it's worth a lot to them. And the same is with the Sfarim that I got, books, Jewish books that I got from Zayda, for example. Some of them are 400 or 500 years old, but not necessarily are they worth that much, either because the quality's not that great or because the book itself wasn't anything special at the time. But just having these ancient manuscripts on my shelf is always is a topic of conversation. People that come into my library look at them and they ask about them, and I take them down. I once had an expert on old books come in, and he was going through the pages and he was showing me how it's actually the book that I had on the shelf was a binding of four different books together, and he was showing me how this one is 200 years old and this one is 400 years old, and they were all bound together 150 years ago into one volume by an owner who probably didn't have space on his shelf, so he combined a bunch of books into one. So there's just a lot of interesting stories, and there's they're conversational pieces more than anything else at this point. The monetary value is almost non-existent in most of these things.
Right, and you know, today also even collection of books are no longer that important. Maybe yes, in some Hasidic circles is a renewed interest in buying old books, specifically first prints of Hasidic books. But there aren't the monetary value of old books has also gone down, because today every old book is available online. All books, almost virtually all books, are available online. People don't have a need to actually have an actual physical library, so the interest in collecting those books is like, hey, you have a rare book, great, but you know, it's online for everybody to see and explore, so it's nothing so great about that,
except for once a week on Shabbos.
Exactly, which is why we say that Talmud Chochem Mikra Shabbos, somebody who's a Torah scholar, is called Shabbos, because the rest of the week you can use Google to figure out and to show your expertise, but the only time that the Hasidic or any halachically observant Jew can show his knowledge of Torahs and Shabbos when he can't do a search on Google. But so yes, definitely the sentimental value and the holy value is what drives the... But I'm not talking here about the monetary value of these books. I'm talking here about just the fact of collecting. But there is one thing which is... when I was a bachur in yeshiva, I was really into collecting letters or copies of letters that were written by the Rebbe. Many of these letters later have been printed in Igris, so that also lost value, but many were not. Some more of the sharper letters, some more of the private things, or things that just simply did not make it into the archives to later print the Igros Kodesh, or the collection of letters of the Rebbe. And for years, whenever I could, I met with people, elderly people, people who had the collections, bought copy machines, rented copy machines, copied letters, collected those letters. Some which I've later on also supplied to people who later printed them in different publications, in some ended up being really rare that nobody had copies of and were printed later in the Igros of the Rebbe and other places. And this is something which I don't really see today anymore, of people into these type of collections.
Because there isn't that much new being produced. So likely everything that existed or exists, most of it anyway, was already discovered and published.
Not sure everything was published. People still do have in their homes collections, especially people whose grandparents have been involved in Askonos, or being involved in the Rebbe's work. Anyway, but that was something that I was, when I was in my... A bachur in yeshiva was something which I was very, very, very much into. I still have sitting here in my house piles and piles, thousands of copies of letters. I'm not such a great hoarder, or not such a... it's not in really good order. When I try to find for something, it takes me a long time to find for a specific paper. But still, it's something which I take pride of.
So I guess you can go back to the issue of value. So yes, we said monetary value is obviously not an issue. There's historical value in some things. There's sentimental value if it's something to do with your family. But then there's a Torah value. The value or the benefit, the advantage that others can have by these historical artifacts, especially Svarim or letters from the Rebbe, or really anything that has to do with the teaching of Torah and with the dissemination of Torah throughout history. If it doesn't exist today, or if singular copies exist today, then perhaps everybody should do whatever they can to bring this, let them see the light of day and allow others to benefit from it, whether it's a collection of letters that were never published or Sfarim that were never published. Mm-hmm. That's real value. And again, value means different things to different people. But over here, I can see real value in holding on to them and then turning it into something usable.
Yes, yes. And what I saw, and the reason why I wanted to speak to you about it, is because I saw the what it added to in this very short few days. I saw what it added to my kids. So I introduced them this week for stamps. They were introduced to coins, but I want to introduce them to a collection of other things as well. Not that they're going to turn into a museum.
It also, it's a connection to the past, the connection to the past, the connection to where you remember, you recognize that you're just part of a much bigger picture. You're another link in the chain, and you didn't just show up in a vacuum. You weren't just here, show up in this world, aniva afsiyod, nothing besides me. There's a whole history behind us. There's a link, there's a chain that we're all a link of. And when you see tangibly, you can hold in your hand, whether it's a sefer, whether it's a book or a coin or a stamp or a letter, you recognize that you're part of this this bigger, longer chain that than you can ever see or understand without holding something in your hand and feeling it and recognizing it in the most tangible way. That's an important lesson for us to teach our children too.
Do you think our listeners will realize that we have some technological issues in this broadcast, because I'm not hearing you and there is a delay when I do hear you? So
all right. So then we'll call it a short episode. We'll figure out what the technology issues are. Maybe we'll call Pinto, and he'll resolve this for us. And hopefully next episode everything will be back in good condition.
You'll have a lot of work to do with the editing board.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, Eliezer.
All right, I'll see you, Mindy. Bye.